Hi everyone, I'm Natalie Ball from the University of Calgary, and I will be discussing eugenics of the past and present. People with disabilities were often targeted by the state for eugenic intervention. Such policies and practices continue to impact the lives of people with disabilities. The word eugenics often invokes thoughts of forced sexual sterilization mandated by a governing body. It calls to mind 19th and 20th centuries ideas about a master race, the Holocaust, and forgotten crimes. But is eugenics truly limited to the past? Eugenics is not just an historical experience. It is arguably a contemporary and future topic of concern for people with disabilities and for disability study scholars. Two avenues are available to achieve eugenic goals. First, negative eugenics, that is, reducing the number of so-called undesirable genes within the population. Or second, positive eugenics, which is increasing the number of so-called desirable genes within the population. Positive and negative eugenics are far from being an action of the past. What has changed and will likely continue to change is the how, or the process by which eugenic goals are achieved. Early uses of negative eugenics include laws barring the marriage and procreation of certain individuals and forced sexual sterilization to prevent the reproduction of the so-called unfit. This is a practice that over 10,000 individuals in the United States alone endured. In more recent times, negative eugenic goals could also be achieved through the prevention of the birth of fetuses defined as unfit through prenatal genetic testing. More recently, the deselection of unfit embryos became possible through a combination of pre-implantation genetic diagnostics and choosing not to implant embryos with certain genetic material using in vitro fertilization. Positive eugenic interventions also have a long history, as well as contemporary manifestations. In many cultures throughout history, marriages were arranged whereby family history of disease was considered as one of the deciding factors. Contemporary manifestations of positive eugenic interventions include germline gene therapies, which are heritable changes to the genome. In the future, positive eugenic goals might be achieved through the ability to synthesize genomes from scratch, constructing a genetic code base pair by base pair, which is known as synthetic biology, and growing a human being with that genome using the artificial womb. The above-mentioned contemporary practices employable for reaching positive and negative eugenic goals aren't usually thought of in Western countries in the same way that earlier eugenic practices are, and there are a number of reasons for this. First, and perhaps most importantly, contemporary eugenic practices are often presented as voluntary rather than forced. Unlike the forced sterilization witnessed in the early to mid-1900s, genetic counseling, testing, and gene therapy are, at least in many Western countries, advanced under the narrative of choice and autonomy. The government does not control who has to undergo these procedures or the decisions that individuals make based on the results. Of course, one could question whether completely free choice truly exists given societal realities. A second reason is that these technologies operate on an individual basis without explicitly stating any intention of furthering the evolution of the species or improving the human race. However, we should recognize that the eugenic idea, trying to create the best human possible in the given circumstances, is still present, at least implicitly. It is possible to continue to redefine eugenics. For example, one can claim that government coercion is an essential aspect of eugenics, so that we can claim that contemporary practices of genetic manipulation and deselection based on genetic information are not eugenic. However, this only muddies the waters. Redefining or overspecifying eugenics may prevent a much-needed contemporary debate about where the eugenic goal of bettering humans is going and, given this goal, what contemporary and future issues we will face. In performing a thematic analysis of eugenic technologies using two newspapers, the New York Times and the Globe and Mail, and a peer-reviewed journal, the Canadian Medical Association Journal, I found that many of the arguments underlying eugenic practices have persisted from the early 1900s until today. For example, the argument that eugenics prevents suffering, the so-called unfit, has been present since the early discussions of sterilization and continues on today in debates surrounding prenatal genetic testing and human enhancement. Such an argument is obviously problematic because it devalues the lives of disabled people and presents restrictions on reproduction and even termination of life as a service or gift to those with supposedly undesirable genetic traits. Other arguments in favor of eugenics that have lived on include that we should always strive to improve the human race, that the total elimination of so-called genetic defects is desirable, and that eugenics is cost-beneficial, meaning that avoiding the birth of genetically variant individuals will save money in terms of medical care, welfare, and even segregation techniques. The persistence of these arguments demonstrates that eugenics is not just an issue of the past, it is very much an issue of the present and future. Dr. Gregor Wolbring will now discuss the future of eugenics.